I'd like to remind us this morning about the importance of faith. The subject of faith is probably one of the most preached about subjects because it's one of the most important subjects to the Christian life. Scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God. If we're going to receive anything from the Lord, it's going to be through faith in Him. I've never seen God with my natural eye, never seen a lot of the things that pertain to our lives around us. We don't see them, we believe them. We have faith, believe that God is. God has shown Himself many times, but we have to have faith to believe it. And faith is more than today than just saying, I believe there's a God. Or even going farther and putting detail to Him. I believe that He's a loving God. I believe He's a mighty God. I can say I believe all those things, but until there's some reaction or action in my life, then I don't really believe that. Faith comes to the place to where I'm willing to say, I believe there's God. And because there is, it's going to change and alter what I would do in my life. I may say, without God, I would do things. But because there's God, I don't do those things. Or I may be able to, by faith, step into areas that I wouldn't otherwise step. It was mentioned here today. It would be totally ridiculous for us or any people to neglect help that we could get unless there's something else. It's not so much that we're saying that there's something wrong with that. It's that there's something so much more right. There is something that I believe by faith that I have never seen, but that I believe it to the point that I will alter my actions because of it. I believe in God. And because I do, I'm willing to step into areas that I would never have stepped in before. Why would I make myself uncomfortable by walking up here and risk making a fool out of myself by what I say and do without faith in God to be able to do something with what I'm doing? I'm not capable of doing anything. I can't tell you anything. I can't inspire you or lift you up or do anything. But I have a faith in God that He can do it. That's why we ought to all examine ourselves and ask ourselves, because I am a believer in God, how am I different than I would be without it? How does faith change what I do in a day? Do I do things differently in a day than what I would if I didn't? Hopefully you'll get down and pray because you have faith in God. You need that. You believe in it. You have faith in it. And if you don't really have faith, you can say, I believe in God. But if you don't put your case before Him, I'm going to have to challenge whether you really have faith in God or not. I need God, and I'll put my case before Him, get down before Him in the mornings and pray, Lord, give me grace. My prayer just almost every morning is, Lord, give me grace today because I don't know what this day may hold. I don't know what I may face, and I need Your grace to help me be able to do that in this day because I can't do it myself. Faith in God, put to the action, put to the test. And there is a response. And we all need to have faith. Faith in God. 2015 and almost 16, I'd say that faith in God is a low ebb. I'm not sure religion is a low ebb. I think it is deteriorating. I think faith is definitely at a low ebb. I think you can claim Christianity, you can claim religion, without having faith in God. I'd like to start with, in the 13th chapter of Numbers,
I'm going to start with the 26th verse. The setting of this is that after the children of Israel were delivered from their bondage in Egypt, they had come to the place and they come to the threshold of fulfilling the promise that God had made to them through Abraham, that they was going to be given this land of promise. And now they are at the very door of the promise. In the 26th verse it says, and they went and come to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we come unto the land hither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You ever run up into something that's stronger than you? Is that what's going to stop us? Well, we're stopped then. I'm stopped if that's what it takes to stop us. The setting, of course, is they send the spies over into the land of Canaan to see what they're up against. They had a promise of God. Does that mean anything? The promise of God. God's going to give them this land. This is something they had known for a long, long time. This is something that God had said He was going to do, but the evidence seems to be contrary to what God said in their minds. You know, our human thinking is not always a positive force. Sometimes we can think ourselves right out of faith in God. When I come up and I said, I thought God said something here. I thought God made a promise here. And when I come up to that promise and the evidence of it isn't there, then I can think myself right out of having faith in God. When it looks like different than what I thought it would be, I can move right away from the idea of God. I remember at home one time there was someone said that they thought that the situation was cancer. They thought it was a cancer situation, and the person was sick and had been sick for quite a while. And I remember the day that the word come that the Lord had touched them and healed them, and they were better. And I remember the first response I heard after that. Someone said, I'm glad that wasn't cancer. I'm glad it must have not been cancer. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Because they got better and healed, the automatic response was, I'm glad it wasn't cancer then. Wait a minute. God can still heal a cancer. What happened there? What happened there? There was a place there that I'm willing to believe God helped here in this. I'm willing to believe they got better, but not if it was cancer. I'm glad it wasn't cancer, because they'd be doomed if it was. Lord, help us. They went over into the land, and God had promised them the land. Now you picture this. I don't know how it was, but let me have this liberty, because this is the way my mind works. God says and promises for these generations. I understand God is going to give us the promised land. All right, I'm looking forward to my little piece.
And I'm looking for, and in my mind, that what I'm thinking about is going in there to the cities that we didn't build, and the vineyards we didn't plant, and the wells we didn't dig, and I'm gonna go in and enjoy it, and it's gonna be a beautiful scene, and we're gonna march right in, and everything's gonna be wonderful, and then we come up to the, and they send it over, and wait, there's people over there. And those people ain't over there saying, oh, you're the promised ones, right? Well, let me pack up. No, they're over there as opposition, and I must be mistaken now about what the promise of God was. Because there's no evidence there. The evidence is contrary, absolutely contrary to that. Faith gets a hold of this and says, I'm going to respond in a way that my natural man wouldn't normally respond because I have faith in what God said. I have faith in what God can do, and when it looks impossible around me, it looks impossible. And God didn't do what He said. I think in their minds they thought they're going to go over there and the people and inhabitants are all going to be gone. And from the time they crossed Jordan all the way to the sea, there's nobody in there. They're all wiped out. They're all gone. And this is set there real pretty and it's mowed and it's took care of and it's waiting for us like a Garden of Eden. Well, I ask this, why didn't God do that? Could not God have done that? But then why didn't He? You know, everything we get is going to be by faith in God. We're going to have to believe in God. I haven't found any of my life hardly to be like that. God's blessed me and done many things, but I've had to fight by faith through a lot of these kind of things. To believe in God when it looks like, what am I going to do? I'm going to hold on to this when it don't look like anything's happening. That's what faith is. Faith holds on to God anyway. And when it looks like everything is different than I thought and it isn't true. And the gainsayers can say now at the river's edge, you had it wrong. God is not doing this. Look, there's people over there. But you know, there was some men of insight. There was some men of faith. They're strong. It says that Caleb had to quiet the people after they come and told him that these people over there must have been a great, there was all this, what have we come to? What have we been told? What have we been told? What has Moses and Aaron fed us? What have we been told? We've been brought out here in this, and what have we been told? What kind of deception is on us? It isn't that way. The old time saints, they used to preach that you could have victory in Christ and that you could live a sin-free life and you could live under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and you could have these things in your life and where are they at? Now what I'm facing is giants and battles and disappointments and all of these things, and I thought they was victories. Yeah. You know, those old folks had those giants too. They had all of those things come against them too. We're not the first generation to have sickness among us. We're not the first generation to have opposition against us. We're not the first one to have a world that's against us. All the times of Jesus after Jesus, they've always been against God. There's always been an opposition. Faith. I'm going to believe. I'm going to respond in the actions of my life to God, regardless of what the circumstances are around me. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. The Lord comes along and says, I want you to go. I want you to go. And the circumstances says, I can't go. It's snowing. God messed up. Because there's something on opposition here. It should be clear roads. No, God said, go, I can get you there through the snow. I can take you somewhere. One of the brothers in the past, I think it was the sketch of my life, the story that I don't know if Faith Publishing has it, but it's a sketch of my life by William Hall. And in that, I think it was in that the Lord told him to go to New York. He told his wife, said, the Lord told me to go to New York, preach the gospel. Well, I got to go to New York. And his wife said, you can't go to New York. You ain't got any money. She was faithless. She was faithless all the way through. He was, my wife, just faithless. I said, well, what difference does that make? The Lord told me to go to New York. I'm going to New York. You're not going to New York. You can't go to New York. You ain't got no money. How are you going to get to New York? I don't know, he said. But the Lord told me to go to New York. He goes down the street, and there's a little mission down there. He goes in there and he goes into this little place, and he goes in there, finds out there's a perfect opportunity to tell these people what God done for him. He goes in there and starts telling them, and the Lord gets anointed, and he starts telling them and preaching to them. When they get through, they said, there was such a stir, they said, hey, I don't know who his brother is, but let's support him. He needs some help with the God. Let's send him out. They started taking up money, giving him enough money, and here he comes back with, you know what he had enough money to do? He go to New York. Just like the Lord told him to do. And his response was, well, there's obstacles, but God's bigger than the obstacles. Faith in God makes us respond to God regardless of the circumstances that are around us. We believe in God. You can do it. And you know what I found in my life? I have found that I see God in these areas so many times when I'm willing to take a step into those areas that don't look right. And then God starts opening things up. He said and say, oh, how mighty is God. How wondrous is his works that he can move and work and deal in that. What do you think God wanted these people to do? They wanted them to look to God and the power of God, not to the size of those people. Wanted them to have faith in God, not to look at the obstacles. But no, there was a couple that said, it's true. Let's not make things false. God don't like false. Let's make things true. We say, well, I don't see no giants. Let's act like they're not there. That's not faith. That's not faith to say that there's no, I'm not going to accept the giants. No, there's giants. There's giants. There's giants everywhere. So he says, it's true. There's giants. There's walled cities. There's difficult. They're going to do that. They live here. They live here. They got all these oppositions. But we be well able. Well able to go in and take the land. It don't look like it. But we are well able. How quickly those people forgot where they came from. How they got out of there. What God had done all the way. God wanted to instill in them something that would make them take that step across Jordan. Step into that by faith. Into that promised land. They should have wanted it so much. They should have wanted the will of God. The way of God. To trust in God. They should have wanted it for all their heart to say, I'm willing to die to get what God's got for me. And instead, they drew back. But these people had a history of drawing back. These people had no fortitude of mind or power of religion. They were weak. They were so weak and that any obstacle, anything that taxed them the least little bit would throw them into a complete kilter. They was completely messed up. Anything. No strength. No faith in God. So they said, We not be able. They are stronger than we are. I've run into so many things that's stronger than I am. I've run into so many giants in my life. I've run into so many situations that I've had to say, Lord, if you don't do something with this, there's nothing I can do. I can't fix this. I can't fix myself. I can't fix others. Lord, this is a job for God Almighty. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land the which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Big people. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we are in our own sights as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. God wants you and I to have faith. Amen. In Him. Be able to put our focus on God.
what God's able and capable of doing, not only to believe that he is able and capable of doing it, but that his love is so strong and supreme for us that no matter what it looks like around about us, that God is loving us, that God is working to our benefit. He's working to our betterment in whatever, is he? I want challenges. Is God in control? Does God love you? Is God allowing all the circumstances in your life to work together to bring something better for your life? We can all say yes, but unless we do by actions step into that realms, we aren't really believing that. But Lord, help us to have a kind of faith that moves in and says, I'm going to step right on across this river. I'm going to start into gaining the things that the Lord has through me. It wasn't the Lord's plan ever to destroy those people out of there. He was not going to give it to them without their will and purpose in this. This is a joint thing between God and me. And God is going to give me God ain't going to just wipe my enemies off. God's going to give me the power to face them and overcome them. God's going to give me the grace to live with them around. Sometimes punching, doing it, but God's going to give me the power to be able to live a godly life. We can say, well, God, why don't God make it easy for us and just clear back all this sinful world for us? No, God's going to give us the power of his Spirit to live holy right here in the middle of this perverse, sinful world. And we can be victorious right there by faith in God. It's going to take a faith in God. I'm going to have to pray believing God is able to help me in that and give me victory over this world. Give me power over this world. He would have helped them too. They wept all night because they had in their mind, oh, they had such a hard time. How quickly they forgot. You know what, without reading all this, you know what these people reverted to? Let's get rid of Moses. Brought us out here in this kind of a place. Let's get us another captain. And let's have that captain lead us back to Egypt. Lord, have mercy. They had cried for hundreds of years to be delivered out of that hard taskmaster. And now at the first adverse, the first problem they run into, they're ready to run back to the world. Lord, give us faith. Help us to believe beyond that. You can read, I'll read a little bit more. It says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And while the congregation said to them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. We just as well died somewhere else as died out here. And their hearts fainted and oh, woe is us. And what kind of a place got it in there. And they did not even understand that God, the mighty God, the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great God of all, was straight there ready to put them in there and give them the fortitude and power to march right through every one of those enemies and by faith claim in the name of God every inheritance that was there for that land. God was ready to give it to us. You know, God made promises the way we can live life here on this earth. We're going to have to fight for it, folks. It's going to take some faith. We're going to have to go get that. And you say, well, I've never quite been able to live up to it. You can. You can by faith. You can face those giants. God's made us promises. Over in the book of Matthew, 21st chapter, we'll start with the 17th verse. It says, and he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig trees withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? I don't suppose that it was is necessarily important, or was at the time for Jesus to go walking around with his heart and mind focused in on fig trees or fruit trees or any trees. He gave the disciples a lesson, something for them to have hold of in their lives. Jesus come along and it was a fig tree and it had no figs on it. So he curses it. Strange happening, I think. And it immediately swivels up, dries up. How soon, they say, did it happen? It wouldn't have been near us fascinating, marveling. I had it, it took a process of time, come back the next year and it's dead. Oh, died. Could have died of anything, insects, disease, anything. But no, Jesus wasn't wanting them to have that kind of doubt in their mind. It withered away immediately when at the word of the Lord. How quickly it dries up. What's the importance of this? You know, there's a given here. He that dries up can make alive. And he that makes alive can dry up. This was a lesson about faith. You got something in your life that's troubling you? We got one that can speak to that and dry it up. How quickly? We got one to have, I've got a problem. Lord, I'm going to trust you with this problem because I believe what you did here. This can trouble me only as long as it's allowed to trouble me. It can only go as long as it's benefiting me. You believe that? As long as it's a benefit to me, God can let it go. And when it quits benefiting me, he can say, dry up. And it will quickly dry up. I didn't have barren places in my life. And the Lord can leave those barren as long as it benefits my life. And there's nothing there. It can be barren. And as soon as it needs to spring forth, I believe in a God that can make, yes, I can resign myself to this situation. Even though it's a hard, difficult situation, because I know that my Lord can speak life to that thing when he wants life back to it. He can speak growth to it. He can bring it back to me. He can do that because he's God. There's something important here. What did he say in the old scripture when he said this? How quickly he said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He can dry up and he can make alive. He can help in any kind of situation. He's God. How many times we won't step through the door? We won't allow faith to work. We will not go beyond the realms of I can believe it with my mind, but I'm not going to prove it with my actions. No, when I step through that door, believing, Lord, I will accept this situation in my life. I'm going to accept it because I'm a servant of God. And you promised me the promised land that flows with milk and honey. And I'm going to step in and face my giants and difficulties just this way. And Lord, when it needs dried up, you can cause it to dry up. Oh, how many times there's contradictions or controversies among people. You know what you need? Dry up. Dry up. Lord, heal this in our lives. Help it not be our testimony of the people of God with those kind of contradictions among us. Shouldn't be so. How can we remedy to that? Could I possibly need help from the Lord? Yes, Lord, dry up. Dry up. God is the master of all. They were marveled how soon is this fig tree withered away. Explanation point there in my Bible. This isn't to me just said, oh, how quickly, no. No, how soon the fig tree withered up. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, what are we doubting? You know, it's easy to doubt God and not even realize you're doubting Him. The first question you have to ask yourself, who's in control? It's not me. It's God. I know we have all this modern technology. We think we know things, but the little storm that come through here, it's still God's. It's still God's. That's God's. This is God's. It's all God's.
Amen.
He's still the energy behind it all. He's the force behind it all. He's still God. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith in God and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. Now listen to this, because I think there's some importance here, because there's a great difference between a fig tree and a mountain. I mean, there's an obvious difference between the two. If you was to say to me, Marty, there's a fig tree out here, and I'm going to hire you to get rid of that fig tree. I got a chainsaw. I go out and cut it out. And you may say, even though I want all the roots, I want everything done. Well, I got me a mattock and a shovel. I got some things to dig. But yep, it may take me a while, but within my capability and strength, I'm probably move it out of there for you. I'm probably do that. If I want to put my hands to the things of God without and handle some of those things, we can see some kind of benefit sometimes. We think we can. We think we can do this. We can do things. But he says, you can not only do this to the fig tree, which was done. Now, why do I want to curse fig trees? Jesus wasn't interested in fig trees. He's given a lesson. If you have faith, you can say to the fig tree, dry up. By faith, you and I can get victory over the things in our life that needs to dry up. We can cause them to dry up. I don't think the Lord was ever meaning in a literal way that I can go around Guthrie cursing people's trees. It wouldn't be any benefit to me. I wouldn't have enough faith to do that anyway, because I don't think there's any purpose in it. But I don't think God ever willed it anyway. God isn't interested in the fruit. He's interested in our lives. And the places that don't have fruit, and they ought to be took away and put in their places where they have fruit on them. He wants, and we can have faith in God. So he says, if not only willing to do that, you not only be able to do that which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Oh, what a job now. I'm going to tell you say to me, move this fig tree, I may give it a shot. But when you look at up home, we got Cheap Mountain, we got Snowshoe Mountain. We got there. You said, "Okay, brother, I'm going to hire you. Move that mountain out of the way." I've not got enough days. I've not got enough strength. I've not got enough anything to move any mountains. Not even with heavy equipment could I move those mountains out of there. I couldn't do it. It's an impossibility. Jesus wasn't interested in us moving literal mountains. There was an old saying in the old Hebrew that they would call some of the rabbins, some of the masters, they would call them remover of mountains. That was their title, remover of mountains, because you could bring problems to them and they had the wisdom of God's word, and they had the wisdom to be able to tell you how to deal with the perplexities of your life. And they were called removers of mountains. This sounds a little strange to us, but it wasn't strange to the ones he spoke it to. They knew very well what he was talking about when he said that you'll be able to speak to this mountain. Because we have perplexities and difficulties and problems that are like mountains to us, and they're immovable, and there's no way that we can deal with these mountains. And yet, he said, if you have faith, if you have faith, one scripture says, if you run with the footmen and they weary you. Hey, I'm a man. If I'm a man, I should be able to run with men. But if they weary you, what are you going to do when the horses come? Because I can't run with horses. If they're so far beyond me, I can't deal with the mountains of life. I'll never be able to move them in my life. Never, ever will I be able to move them in my life. But Jesus said,
If you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it'll be cast into by faith. Now, what are those mountains? There was a story in the news not long ago. I believe it was a man in Indiana. It was a pastor in Indiana. Three young men broke into their home. They had a small child in there. I think the child was okay, but these people rather badly abused his wife and murdered her. Shot her in the head, killed her right there in their home. And I heard an interview with this pastor. And he said, I have the greatest temptation to hate these men. But instead, I choose to forgive them and love them. And I thought, what a valiant man to tell it the way it is. Strongest temptation. He ruined my life. They ruined my life for flesh and evil. They ruined my life. And I have such a strong desire to kill them, to hate them. But I choose, rather, to remove the mountain. By faith, you and I can remove the things that's bigger than we are. I want to tell you, that'd be way bigger than me. But by faith, I can say to that mountain, be removed. I can believe in someone that's bigger. I have to believe. I cannot help from believing. It would totally destroy me. I'd have to throw up my hands and quit. If I ever get to the place that I say that God allows something, that something's allowed in life that God wasn't in control of. If I get to the place that I say that was unbeknownst to God, I'm going to have to throw my hands up and quit. And when these bad things happen, even to that kind of a place, if I have to say God didn't know about it, God didn't allow it, God didn't do it for a purpose and a reason beyond me, then I would quit. Because I have to believe that God is God of all. God is God all the time. God doesn't quit being God. God doesn't rest from being God. God don't go on any vacations from being God. God doesn't look down at me sometimes and like me and sometimes hate me. God doesn't look down and he's different like men. And people are like that. And we're close today. We're not close tomorrow. We're close the next day. We're not close with this, with that. We're emotional, all that. I can't believe God that way. I have to believe that God is God all the time. God looks down upon my situation all the time. Whether it seems good, whether it seems bad, whether it seems indifferent, whether I'm up, I'm down, whether I'm depressed, encouraged, God is still God. He's always God. And God is the God that can remove mountains by faith. God will remove our mountains. There is mountains in people's lives. There's mountains in my life. And I've seen God move the mountains by faith. When I looked and said, I've told this many times, but it was touching to me. My oldest daughter, she was just a little thing. She had a balloon playing with it, and it burst on her, and her mother tried to calm her and support her and say, it would get you into whatever. And she said, oh, my little girl said, my wife said, oh, it's okay. Daddy will fix it when he gets home. Well, I'm going to tell you, she had some confidence in Daddy. You know, I had glued and wired and fixed these little toys and put the wheels back on or put an arm back in the doll baby. I'd done all these things. Daddy can do anything. I'm going to tell you, you talk about a challenge. When I got home and she told me that, I said, oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you, for what I could do, yeah, I could do some things in the fig tree realms. I can do some fig tree type things. But I started thinking, brethren, anybody got any idea how you going to fix a balloon? Baling wire don't work now. You can't glue it. You can't tape it. Scotch tape, glue, melting something back together. I looked at it and said, I can't go no farther. I can't fix the balloon. We got one that can fix the broken lives. We weep, we cry, we look at people's drug addictions and we look at people's way of life and the evil that's taken over them. They got spirits and all these things and we look at them and we say, Lord, I've run into my limits. We can't do anything but, oh, God Almighty, God of the universe, God of salvation, forgiver, Lord, our salvation, our redeemer, you are able to take the broken lives. Take them old balloons that burst and somehow, some way, we don't even know how. He causes them to hold air again. He causes life to where we run in to it quite often. I can't remove the mountains, but by faith, I can step in through the door. Lord God, you can remove this mountain before my eyes. It looks like it's too big for me. Perplexities. What are we going to do with the perplexities? To live in a world that's going away from Christianity as fast as ours is. It is not only becoming a neutral thing, it's becoming a bad thing to be a Christian. In our own land of Christianity, it's almost, and Christian conduct is looked at as a bad thing. Lord, well, I'm going to need you. I'm going to need this faith in God to be able to step through these kind of places. I mentioned it many times, but I think it's a place that it touched me. There was a story several years ago of a Christian woman in a Muslim land, and she had broken some kind of a rule, and they threw acid in this young woman's face and destroyed their face and face. And they were brought to they were captured and brought to trial, found guilty, whatever. And now it's an eye for an eye. The penalty was she has the right to throw acid in their face. It's what they did to her. They get acid in her face. Now with a canister of acid ready to go, she chooses to forgive. A young woman, how important is your face to you today? How important is it to your confidence? How important is it for the way you live life? To smile at people, to face people, to do that. They robbed it all from her. They took it all from her. Oh, she's living, but she's not living that she can face people because they'll turn away from her because what her face looks. And she's going to do that for the rest of her life. One life she gets. They took a lot from her. And you know something of faith happened? Can we believe that we're going to get to go to a land one of these days that is so superior to this? If we live for God, we're going to get to go, and shortly too, folks, shortly. We're all going to get a chance to go to that place that's been. Is there any way that by faith that we could give this life for the other one? Is there any way in life that we could say, I'll sacrifice this face? Well, some of us don't have that much to give in that area. But you know, it'd still be hard because it'd take your confidence away from you. It'd take your ability to respond to other people away from you. But she said, no, I forgive you. That's moving mountains. That's moving mountains. That's bigger. Another story back when I was first saved, I remembered it of a young Christian woman. Man abducted, abused, and murdered her little daughter. Her only little daughter. She had one little daughter. And this man done that to her. He was apprehended, brought to trial, convicted, and was put on death row. And she had the right, as the mother of the victim, to face him. Now, I've heard those kind of things before. And this Christian woman, in the battle of this, how would you feel? Oh, I'd feel so defiled. I'd feel so angry. I'd feel all those things. This woman went to him and said, God loves you. And I love you and forgive you. And she tried to get this man to repent and find salvation. She removed the mountains. There's by faith, folks, there is a life that's bigger than this human life that we live, try to live here, and do the things we do through the flesh, through Christ. There is a life that's above that, that we can remove the mountains. And you know why only way that's going to work? By faith. By faith. Can you possibly be big enough and have faith enough to believe in the workings of God? Can you be big enough and believe that God could allow something like that to happen for someone's salvation. I can't say why God does what he does all the time. Because his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. I don't have to understand them. But I need to have faith in God that works them. God lets things happen sometimes. Paul and Silas took a whooping. But the jailer in his house was saved. Can you believe that God may say, I want you to take a whooping, but it'll be for a benefit for you and everybody else? But if I don't have faith, I can't see it. I won't walk into it. I won't do it. I won't perform it. I'll say God is good. God is mighty. God is the king of the universe and all that. But I won't act like it with my life. But I believe God is, and that God looks over the affairs of men. And I think he watches over his children. And he wants you and I to have faith in God in our actions. And we'll look at another scripture in the 18th chapter of Matthew. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the 17th chapter. Oh, let's see. If that's the one I want, yeah, this is where I want it. 20th verse says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Well, we better pick up the thought. I'll go back to the 14th. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Well, but wait a minute, that's what the disciples was out doing. I see that there's limitations. There's steps of faith. The disciples later become able to do it. They just wasn't doing it there. I think I've seen those places in my life. I remember one time back in my youth and had a little bit of debts, think about going out full time, and the Lord had some debts and stuff, and the Lord inspired me, I can take care of them debts. Pay them debts off. If you'll pray. I started praying for these little debts I had. Well, I had a big one. You know I didn't pray about that big one? It was too much for my faith. I started praying for them. And the Lord paid them off in a little bit, brought the money, paid them debts off. And I was clear to that. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, I'd pay that big one off too if you have faith to believe. Amen. Well, he inspired me with the little ones. I couldn't go into that. It's just, I couldn't do it. Until the Lord done this. And I said, Lord, help my faith. I don't have to have help. But Lord, help my faith. Because the little or much is the same with you. But it's not the same with me. Help me to be able to have faith in a great God who's able to do anything. You know, I started praying, having faith and praying, and it was a very, very short time till the Lord did that for me. God's able, folks. God is able, and he wants to show himself. And he says, here, these people, these disciples run into something that was bigger than, it wasn't bigger than God. It was bigger than they were. They came to the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That's pretty good. And how much people would like to be able to use that somehow in the flesh. It would be a great earth-moving company if I could pull that one off. I mean, you need a load of dirt? It's on its way. God isn't interested in moving dirt. God's interested in moving the mountains of our life. Now he says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and I'm not challenging the standard thought on this, of that much little faith. But the scripture also talks about great faith.
Yeah.
And never have I seen such great faith, he said about the centurion. Great faith. So I think there's a better explanation of the grain of mustard seed. The grain of mustard seed starts out, it's the smallest of seeds. That's the idea. And it grows to the greatest of herbs. Then there's a great process in the middle of life. Of growing to that place. He's not talking about, I don't think, about the smallness of it. He's talking about the activity of it. How active it is. How quickly it grows. It's a growing thing. It gets there. He's trying to say, if you had a faith of a grain of mustard seed, it starts off and it grows and it grows. And you got faith today. You got faith tomorrow. You let faith work. You didn't have faith to be able to do this. But you got enough to start. You can get there. Folks, you can have faith as much as anybody ever had faith. You may look and say, that Abraham had faith. But Abraham was a better man than you. Made better. Would he have a divine way about it? What did he have? No, he was a man that believed in God and allowed faith to grow. Build up your most holy faith. Allow the growth happen in your life. You believe in God, you're in a good place. Allow God to work with that. Allow God to bring more action into your life. More and more. God is a great God that can do. You want to see God? Brother Philip brought it out. You want to see God? It's going to cost you something. We'd love to see more healings. We want to see more sickness to get healed from? Got it. I want to see more healings. Well, let's get more sicknesses going. What is that? What? The process, the only way you can be healed of sickness, be sick. I want to see God destroy my enemies. No, I don't want to have no enemies to be destroyed. I want to see God in it. You know, it's a given. You're going to have your perplexities, problems, giants, difficulties, sicknesses, those kind of things. We have a way of combating them. Lord, give us faith. Help us not to be said that we've lost what they've had in the times past. I think we do follow in the footsteps of faithful giants. We do. There's the people that loved and gave themselves. They died in faith, was willing to give this mortal flesh, this body, to the cause of God and willing to die. Help it not be lost with the people now. That we can have the same faith that they had. Listen, we're all going to die all in this flesh anyway. We're all going to be. But Lord, help us to put our hearts and minds into God. God is still able. Oh no, nobody out there to be saved. Nah, let's have more faith than that. If that's what God's working. But I'm going to say this: God is still able through His preached word. It's the foolishness of His preached word. I'm going to tell you, the word of God's powerful yet. And it can still go to the point. It can still dry up. It can make alive. It can do the work that is happening. Lord, help us to still believe in it. Believe in it. Sometimes we get a little shy about it. We don't want to say what things of God. We don't want to act like we're out there. Lord, help us to be bolder than that. I'm not talking obnoxious. But there is nothing wrong with the tables around you at the restaurant hearing you praying. There's nothing wrong. But it's an opportunity. And I guess if they don't like it, they'll ask you to quit. But you'll be surprised how many people will like it. How many people will appreciate it? I say to those that can sing, use it to the Lord. This is a good place to worship God and sing, but there's a lot of places you can touch people's lives by singing. At home, we go to the home there where people's at. I'm going to tell you, they'll chase us in the halls to hear us sing. Well, I think it sounds pretty good. It's not my singing that makes it sound good, but they sound pretty good going up and down them halls. It's kind of close in. It's got good reverb to it. It sounds, I mean, the Lord, it's good harmony, good singing, but the Lord's blessing, and it's a valuable place there, touching people's lives. All God wants us to have faith and say it makes a difference. God makes a difference in our lives. You got mountains in your life. You got places in your life. Lord, help us to have better, more active faith. What an active faith is, it's going to make you step through the door when nothing around it looks like it's the way. Lord says, go in here and witness, and you look and say, well, this is not a bunch of sinners. There ain't nobody want the Lord. I think it's funny that how often it is we'll be wanting to witness to the Lord, and we look around till we find somebody that's saved to witness to. I look and see a sister wearing a dress down long, got her hair up, and got a guy with and looks like that. I'm much more prone to say, hey, about the Lord. He's probably okay. As I talk to somebody, there's people out there that's the way we think. Lord, help us. Lord, help us in our faith. Step through those places, and I guarantee you this, we will see God. God will reveal himself and show him himself. He condemned the children of Israel to every one of them. He said, because they've done this thing. Because they've seen what I've done, and because they've done this thing, he said, everyone, and he accepted out Caleb and Joshua, because they had faith in God, and the rest of them was to die in the wilderness. You know, after that curse was put on them, they up and said, we change our mind. Let's get ready and go over. We've sinned. Too late. Too late. And they all die. And the next ones, no, the Lord had the land for them and gave them the heritage. You pray for me.